session number 22084, Reel 1.
Keith, could we start the interview by you telling us your full name and where and when you were born, please?
My name is Alan Keith Potter, 4 Burr Street, Mosman Park, and I was born in Canterbury in Victoria on the 10th of June 1922.
Tell us about your family background.
I suppose this starts with my grandfather, briefly an Englishman, and my mother also was English. At least my grandmother was English. My father came to Australia in the late 19th century, and he met my mother in New Zealand, and they came to Western Australia, and they started a department store in Wangaratta. In the Depression, the bank collapse in, I think, 1872, he went broke, and with his family he came over to Western Australia, where he got in a job with Sidewood Gardeners, a wholesaling company, and he became the estate manager and then started a retail store in Northam. And that was the major store in Northam, and it was called, obviously, Potter's Store, Northam. And he retired there, or from there, leaving the store to his elder son. My father was a young lad who also worked in the store for a little while, who didn't get on too well with his uncle Walter, so I understand he hit Walter in the eye and came down to Perth, where he got a job in Bowens. And from there, he and his experience in clothing, he got a job with W.G.P. Creed, who was a mantle manufacturer, dresses and coats, in Melbourne. So Dad went over to Melbourne and worked with him there, and he was working for Creed as a sales representative. And in 1916, he joined the AIF and came away as a reinforcement of the 2nd 16th Battalion. He did his training in England and went to France and was involved in certain battles there. And in one, I can't quite remember the name at this point, but he was wounded and he was invalided to England, where he recuperated and was transferred to the Pay Corps and promoted to the rank of corporal. Whilst there, he met my mother, and they came to Australia at the end of the war in 1918 or 1919 to Victoria, where Dad picked up his job as a sales representative, and he had the responsibility of taking Creed's samples up the coast to Queensland, Brisbane and so on, in these days by boat, with all his samples in wicker baskets. And whilst there, my sister Mary was born in 1918, December 1918, and my brother in April 1920, and I in June 22.
What was your brother's name?
My brother's name was, as my father, my father's name was William Lyon Potter, the Lyon being my grandmother's family name. And so my brother Bill was also called William Lyon Potter. Ultimately, Dad, Bill and I were all in business together after the war, and they were referred to as Young Bill and Old Bill. Dad was in 1923, when I was 1 year old. Dad was transferred to Western Australia as the West Australian agent for GWP Creed. And he started his business there, and the name W.L. Potter, and it was changed to W.L. Potter and Sons when my brother and I joined him after the war, and it, in fact, is still going.
So what would your early memories be?
Of what?
Growing up.
Of my early memories. Well, I guess the first memory I have is rather a humorous one. My sister was going to the kindergarten or early primary school in South Perth, where we lived, and I went there without any pants on and was carted around the classrooms trying to find an owner for me, which they did. Then we came, at the age of three, my father and mother split up, and my father put the three children in a taxi and brought us over to his grandparents' place, who were living in Stirling Highway, which was called Perthshire Mantle Road in those days. And I lived there with them until Dad remarried when I was six. And he then built a house in Victoria Parade, which is now called Freshwater Parade. And I lived there, or we lived there, until 1934, when he bought a house further around the river, quite a big place on a three-quarter acre block, with the tennis court up the front and the river at the back. And we had a very good family life there. My schooling was at Claremont Central, which was very close, about 300 yards away from my home. And this was during the Depression, and it was an excellent school. I have very many warm memories of my life in the kindergarten and primary school at Claremont Central. It was, of course, during the Depression. I suppose the biggest thing that I can remember is in 1933, when my father bought a new Dodge. And a new Dodge in those days was really quite an event. It was a happy time. I've always been very interested in sport right from as long as I can remember. I'm not a big fellow. I've always had a competitive nature, and I've enjoyed physical activity and sport itself, and I guess very largely that's dominated a lot of my life. At this point, I was involved in diving, and was made a member of the state diving troop, and I was interested in boxing, but not doing too much at that stage. Then I went to Hale School, as my older brother was doing, and I was there for the next 3 years, where I got my junior certificate. In those days, different from now, and it was a time when education was really more, higher education was for those who were going into the professions. I never had any desire to go into the profession. I think from birth I'd been conditioned to go into my father's business. I got my junior, and at the end of 1937, somebody came round looking for a job for an employee for Darlings, who were a wheat firm. The manager of it was also a consulate for the Netherlands, and I got the job without any trouble, and was there for a few months until the wheat season ended, and then they decided that they could dispense with my services. So I, without any trouble, really, got another job with Nestle and Anglo-Swiss Condensed Milk Company of Australasia Limited.
We've spoken a little bit about the Depression. Was there any thought at this stage between sort of the mid-30 to the time we're talking about now about people like Hitler about the events in Europe that might be taking place.
It must be remembered that in those days it would have been, say, from my 12 to 17 year old years. In my school years, I can't honestly remember knowing too much about it. We were aware of Hitler. I think his Mein Kampf was of great interest, and there was a considerable awareness of what was going on. We realized his pogrom of the Jews and the night of the glass chandeliers or
Kristallnacht
were certainly not Jewish. My father was quite a devoted Anglican or Church of England in those days. In fact, he was involved in helping with as treasurer of the church and building St. Lawrence Church here later. We were also aware of Russia. Russia, I think, their five-year plans. I remember this being seriously discussed at school, and we were looking ahead as to what Russia could do. But we didn't have a dread of Russia in those days, but we just looked at them as creating change, as I recall.
To what degree did people in Australia look at the activities in Europe and not really concern themselves with the situation?
Well, that's a long shot, because looking at it from my perspective, that of a young teenager, I really wasn't involved in the wider marketplace. I wouldn't have read the morning's paper each day with intent to find out what was going on. I was more concerned with my sport, my activities. I was drummer in the Hale School Cadet Corps, involved in every sport pretty well that they had, in very marginal degrees of success. But I was able to achieve something in diving and a little bit in boxing. But I played football and hockey, not great hockey, we didn't have hockey, football and cricket and those sort of things.
Did your parents possibly discuss what was going on?
Well, they probably did. But I can't really remember much being involved in those discussions. If my father were alive today, he'd say, well, you've got a very short memory, because we talked about it a lot. But I don't have any conscious memories, and my brain wasn't geared to international events. It was geared more to a young man coping with his expanding genes and his sport and his school studies, which were a little down the track from that.
What about your father and his experiences in the First World War? Did he ever speak to you about that, or did you ever hear him talking about that to other people?
No, he didn't, really. I know that he had this sort of quite a bad head wound, for which he was getting a pension, which he was given but never really collected. And I sensed that he'd had a difficult time there, and he was opposed to war, but he was also a patriotic person. He would listen to, particularly as the war grew closer, and this is getting right into the event now, the radio that Hitler fears. He and mother would listen to that religiously, and the whole family would listen to that, those of the family who were there at that time. Dad himself would have been, and mother, perhaps to a lesser extent than Dad, would have been very interested and involved in the European situation. I would say very much so. And probably we did discuss it. We'd always sit down together for meals. We had a family of seven children. by the time we all had our conversations around the table, there wasn't too much deep thought, because we're all teenagers. So,
you mentioned that you were a drummer in the cadets at school. What was that like? Tell us what it was like to be in the cadets in the 30s.
Well, that in itself was interesting, how I became involved, because Dad was enjoyed diving, and he played the drums, not in the army. but in some school band or something in his early years. And so that when I found that I had this interest in diving and was able to be reasonably good at it, when I went to Hale and they were looking for a drummer, Dad had been a drummer, I put up my hand and I played the drums, learnt the drums. I initially wasn't a very good drummer in that my legs were pretty short, and so I either played the beat more slowly so I could stretch my legs or played it quicker so I could fit into the steps. But somehow we all coped, and it was good. I had my drum, I'd take it home with me, and as later when I had my rifle, I'd take that, hand of the drum over for the rifle after a year or two as a drummer. And we'd dress in our uniforms, and they were very smart with colours on our epaulets and the whole lot, collars, ties. We looked very, very smart.
What were your feelings toward being in the cadets?
I enjoyed it. I suppose, again, it was a matter of progression in that I'd been in the Cubs from the age of 7, and I'd been a 6er there. Then I went to the Scouts for a while, and I was a two-striper, a section leader, I think it was called. And so going into the cadets was sort of a natural progression. Being in uniform was, I was quite familiar with, and I enjoyed it. I suppose the desire to feel important made me feel important, and new activities, and it was great. I enjoyed it.
What did it represent?
What did it represent? I suppose, now that's a deeper question than say a 7 to 12 year old boy would give much thought to. I suppose it represented ego satisfaction, experience, the pleasure in being in some sort of little command. I think I always enjoyed that bit. And of course in the Cubs and Scouts as well, you're collecting all these badges that you stick on yourself, which is also a bit of an ego trip, but whilst it's an ego trip, it's also satisfying and informative, is that you're being compelled to experience a number of things. And I think that as we go through life, that probably is one of the greatest things that you can learn, that there's a very broad place out there and a lot of things to learn, and you can never stop learning. And I suppose a good place to start is in the Cubs and go through the progression. Actually, it didn't finish there, because from there I went to the militia cadets when I left school, and got a couple of stripes and put on my age at the age of 17 to go into the militia, and they took me, and I was given a couple of stripes pretty shortly after that, and then went into a 3-month camp in Melville, a suburb just on the other side of the river there, and was in that 3-month camp on my 18th birthday, which is on the 10th of June, so it's only a few days from today, when I turned 18. I then, on that day, got permission from my parents to join the AIF. They weren't very happy about it. But they were listening to the radio that Hitler fears, and it was on the 10th of June, and I think Mussolini had declared war, and I think that a lot of things were happening over there. And so I thought this is the appropriate moment. I got the form, thrust it in a pen in my father's hand, and with tears streaming down his face, he signed it. I was elated. Got it. So I went back to the militia camp, and on the 22nd of July 40, I then transferred to the AIF.
Just going back a bit, you mentioned you're in the Cubs, then cadets and militia. To what degree do you think that involvement reflected society's attitude towards conflict and war at that time?
Well, that's a very interesting question, John, but it's There are two points to that. One, as far as Cubs and Scouts were concerned, of course Lord Baden-Powell was doing his thing. Young kids then didn't have things like computers and TV and so on. It was a totally different ball game. But also, I think there must have been, underlying it, the element of, we just got out of a war, defence and so on must have been still in their minds. But I think that Baden-Powell wanted to create people for peace rather than for war. I think having the militia was considered to be a necessary thing. And the Commonwealth Militia Forces, as opposed to the overseas forces of the AIF. I would say, I think that started probably somewhere in about 1933. And it would need a bit of research, probably not very difficult to find out that possibly at the time when there were stirrings overseas of Hitler and so on. So it could well have been the feeling of our need to be involved.
Well, he was to officially assume power in 1934, so we're talking 1934, 1936, he's violating the Versailles treaties by walking into the Rhineland and things like that. So things are starting to happen.
Yes, well, there again, I suppose one sees it from one's own perspective. And as a young lad, there would have been about, 15 to 16, they were stimulating times, exciting times. Not very deep thought out times for a young fellow, because you don't see that. And I remember on the 3rd of September of 1939, I happened to be in bed with mumps of all things, and war was declared, and whilst at that stage I was still in just a corporal in the cadets, I felt this is my opportunity, and I remember seeing myself as an officer with these gold pips which we had in those days on my shoulders, calling around visiting my girlfriends, and yeah, that sort of, you can see the level of my mind and mentality. I wasn't seeing it from the long view, I was seeing it from very much the individual view, that great, how we can really get somewhere or do something.
You mentioned that the family would listen to the radio. Do you recall the sorts of things that they may have heard?
Well, from recall the sorts of, yes, well, that's, I suppose, and this is a bit of a guesswork here, because I can't say that I can honestly recall anything very clearly about it, but certainly they would have been listening to the news. They would have been very involved in listening to it. But listening to the news is a somewhat passive thing. You don't usually have great conversations in the middle of a news bulletin. I would imagine, knowing their personalities, they would have been very concerned by it. But they didn't let, that I can remember, that concern penetrating our lives.
In 1938, Chamberlain was to have the meeting in Munich, coming back with a piece of paper. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do. Time? Yes, what? I do. Well, my consciousness, strange enough, of that is that it showed weakness. I do remember that, coming back, peace. I can see him getting off the plane now, waving peace in our time. And I thought, well, now I've got to be very careful here between what I thought then and what I'm thinking now. So, it's, but in any event, my recollections of it was a weak gesture. Hopeful that it proved to be right. But I think that by this time there was a general awareness. The fact that we were close to getting to war made people more war conscious. I think that is sort of quite a valid thought of that time.
At that time, did people not really believe that there was going to be peace, do you think?
Well, there's another factor here, and my inadequacy to be able to give you a true, intelligent report, because 1938, I was working, playing a lot of sport, unsuccessfully chasing girls. A typical young 16-year-old of those days. So it's, I guess whilst I listened to him as a part of them and in the army, in the militia and so on, I can't recall being too deeply disturbed by them or really too involved in a more senior level of debate on them. That awareness didn't come till later.
So what happened when you heard Menzies on the radio on the 3rd of September 39?
3rd of September, I was in bed with mumps. I didn't have a radio in my room, and I wasn't allowed into the family room to listen to it anyway. So I guess that when I heard that he declared war, that was probably when I started getting excited. Things might start to happen.
What were some of the responses that you saw, either with your family or friends at the time, relating to the fact that war had been declared and Australia was now at war again?
I can't give you a mature answer to that for the reason I indicated earlier, that at that age I didn't get involved in too many adult discussions. My discussions would have been with my school friends, ex-school friends, with our sport and our activities, and I guess we left the bigger scene to the older people, and we got on with enjoying ourselves in those early teenage years.
I'm interested because, you know, the First World War hadn't been all that, you know, far behind, or hadn't been gone long, put it that way. And that had been the war to end all wars, presumably. Here we have another world war on the horizon.
It's one can only really guess what the reaction would be, because 60 odd years ago, when you were a young teenager of that age running around, I'd like to have shown now that I had more concern about it then, and perhaps I did. But it's been a hell of a long time, a lot of water's gone under the bridge, and I really haven't got a terribly clear idea.
It wasn't going to be long before you were wanting to go. Do you recall whether there was a call-up?
Yes, there was more activity, because it was in December of that year, November, that, in fact, I had left the cadets, put up my age to join the Cameron Highlanders. This official paper was going through the printer, who happened to be a captain of my cadet company, and he saw my name and put two and two together. The 16th were told, and they kicked me out before I even got my kilts. So I went back to the 11th, and they put me into the militia. And very shortly, they sent me to a corporal cadre, and I did pretty well with that, because I'd had by this time a bit of experience, and came out with my two stripes. And a few months after that, we went into 3 months camp, and from there, that was in May. So to answer your question there, yes, there was a lot of activity going up there, that the Army obviously realised, the government obviously realised that they had to get cracking with their defence forces and so on. And they were going to look for sort of young leaders with all the people they expected coming in. And for us going into 3 months camp for a start, normally we'd go in for a fortnight camp, but then this was a 3 months camp, so this was far more serious. And then they brought in natural conscription of 21-year-olds going into national training. So by this, the government was getting very geared up. And I suppose the major impact of the World War II was when we saw troops going to the Middle East, coming through, or going to England, actually. When the ships arrived with New Zealanders and Eastern States AIF Army.
What was the feeling then, seeing those troops coming through?
Well, the feeling for the masses, I suppose, if the family, if I saw it today, I'd have a fear of dread that my family could be involved of the greater awareness of what would happen. So with the older people who had gone through a war and had suffered and knew what war was, would have a totally different opinion from a young teenager who was more looking balls and all for, you might say, getting into it, and a totally different perspective. But an adult would have to be very concerned. I suppose the younger men, or of course were those first battalions that went over, it suited a lot of people. It suited a lot of people who had been in the army and they were just waiting to get promotion or do something, to the people who had no jobs, to young fellows who were looking for excitement and so on, and through it all a few people who felt a lot of loyalty to Britain. And my father was one of those people. He always spoke of England as being home, although he wasn't born there. And